Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through.
Conversation. I'm glad you came in tonight on one of the many ways you can find the show. One, of course, is through a direct link, also through searching Blog Talk Radio. But there's also two other ways. One is by going to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, which you could find a link on the front of the page of the homepage of Bard's Logic Political Talk. And that will take you to the Conservative Conversation, or other, in other words, the Patriots Journalist Network. And on the Patriots Journalist Network, you will find other shows, such as Charlotte Dively's show, Pray USA, Mark Prasick's show, which is Full Armor, which is a live video chat. And then you also, of course, find this show. And then there is the Samuel Samford Show. And then there is Tex and the Rex. Now, the times of the shows have been fluctuating the past couple weeks, but we're going to be nailing them down very shortly. This show is going to be from Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And then I believe Samuel Samford's may be where it's going to be 11 p.m. to, I believe, 1 p.m. And then Tex and Rex are normally on Fridays and Saturdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., but there will be a special edition of the Tex and Rex show tonight following the Bard's Logic Political Talk, and that show will be on from 11:30 till possibly 1:30 if it goes the full 2 hours. Now, tonight on the Jay Leno show, Ron Paul is said to have a big announcement. And what that big announcement may be, we do not know. I mean, could it be retirement? Could it be that he is going to join a third party? Or is it going to be some sort of an endorsement for a candidate of either Mitt Romney, Gary Johnson, or some other, or possibly even Tom Hoefling of America's Party? Or will it be something else that is not yet to be speculated upon? And we'll also discuss the possibilities, and also continuing the discussion last night, which came up on what the role of Christian conservatives will play in the general election, especially when the two candidates, both Mitt Romney and Obama, have pro-abortion records. And so that will also be discussed tonight on the show. So the way I like to start off this evening is one of the things that we all heard what happened to the Ron Paul supporters, not supporters, but the delegates. And that really upset a lot of Ron Paul supporters. And this is what some of the reaction of those supporters are, and how they how these folks who talked, and I think there's almost a consensus about many Ron Paul supporters of their feelings being representative of how the rest of them, if not, you know, or many, if not the rest of them, feel about them. I feel about the GOP.
I want to make sure that when the Republican Party loses terribly to, in my opinion, the worst president in American history, I want them to make sure that it's because they systematically shut out the most intelligent, most active, and youthful voting bloc in American history.
Hi, I'm Zach Weissmuller with Reason TV. We're here at the Tampa State Fairgrounds with the diehard Ron Paul fans waiting for Paul Fest.
Paul Fest is the grassroots celebration of sort of the end of the 2012 Ron Paul campaign. It is not done with the cooperation or attendance of Ron Paul or the official Ron Paul machine.
How do you feel like the Ron Paul faction has been treated by the Republican Party this time around?
I mean, definitely as the outcast.
We are playing by the rules, okay? That's why the other side is so frustrated.
You feel like the other side's not playing by the rules?
They're changing the rules by the minute.
The few people I've talked to here so far seem to be pretty frustrated with the Republican Party right now. Can you explain where that frustration's coming from?
Yeah. It's largely coming from what we've seen in the last couple of weeks with the fights over whether Ron Paul's various state delegations would be seated.
It was a kangaroo court. I came down here as a delegate thinking we could have a conversation about rules, platform, procedures, and maybe be brought into the campaign and, you know, get some of our planks, you know, accepted. But they made clear yesterday that they perceive us more as a nuisance than potential allies.
During the state convention, we got railroaded. We didn't end up getting seated at the convention here in Tampa.
Let the delegates participate and actually have a voice instead of just scripting the whole thing like it already is.
Romney has probably lost even some of the support he might have had. There is definitely a very bad taste in the mouth about Romney and about the official Republican political machine.
If you even want to imply that we are involved in some kind of common cause, with a monster like Mitt Romney, then you have missed the whole point of the Ron Paul revolution.
I am not planning on supporting Mitt Romney.
Why not?
Well, after seeing the tactics employed by his campaign yesterday, you know, really upset me.
There's no way I could support someone like him.
How does this affect your attitude towards the Republican Party?
It makes me feel like they are a bunch of idiots.
Uh-huh. You can reform the Republican Party if you want to. Look at the way the Republican Party has treated Ron Paul.
If Romney wins the nomination, I'll be supporting Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson's campaign is making a very intelligent bid for the Ron Paul voter. He's not afraid to come here and ask for the Ron Paul vote.
We'll show the world and the nation that what Ron Paul has stood for is not a fluke. It's the future. Live free! Live free!
The frustration, I think, can get focused in a way that will have an impact in this election, and that would be voting for me.
To say that they'll go third party, yeah. I think nobody in the Ron Paul movement really wants to see Barack Obama or Mitt Romney get the presidency. You know, we're pretty much libertarians, and we'll go the route to the person who believes closest to us.
Suspicious of the media.
Well, I'm suspicious of the media? Well, we don't call it lamestream media for nothing.
I'm not part of the mainstream media.
I said lamestream.
Oh, I am part of the lamestream media, that's right.
Okay.
Now, folks, the other day, Ron Paul, shortly after the convention, said he washed his hands from the Republican Party, thus indicating that he was ready to leave. And that's why some of the speculation of what he's going to announce tonight has been hitting the airwaves and hitting the social networks. And one of the folks that you heard on the audio clip was Gary Johnson. Now, what I like to share, I'm not saying at this point I'm endorsing Gary Johnson, or that's who I'm definitely behind right now. However, the Libertarian Party is on the ballot in 50 states. However, there's another party, which we will talk about later, and that's the America's Party, in which I'm interviewing their presidential candidate this coming Friday at 9 p.m., which, yes, I normally do not do live shows on Fridays, but to accommodate his schedule, I am going to do a live show, a special edition interview with Tom Hoefling of the America's Party. But because you heard Gary Johnson in that audio clip, I'd like to share a clip with you that a frequent caller comes in, Chris Shipler, has supplied. And this is a Gary Johnson ad that I'd like to share.
My name is Gary Johnson. Of the many people running for president in 2012, only three will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November. Myself, a Republican, and a Democrat. For those of you worried I'll take votes away from the Democrat, and to those of you afraid I'll take votes away from the Republican, I say good. They deserve to lose your vote. Take as many votes as possible away from the people in both parties, keeping us in a state of perpetual war, increasing unsustainable debt, record joblessness, and a bipartisan economic death wish, ruining America for 330 million of us. Over 80% of you have stated you want a third choice, and now you have one in me. For every face carved into Mount Rushmore, there was once a man willing to put his principles before his party. Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt, each one of them ran for office as an outsider, and each one of them changed America for the better. If you're ready to vote for better days in America, I'm not the third choice in 2012, I'm the only choice. Be libertarian with me for one election. If after 4 years you decide honest, effective government doesn't work for you, you can always vote corruption and failure back into office again. Live free.
I have a caller that I'd like to have them come in. And your live mic is about to be live. I just have two roles here for callers. One is that we have a civil conversation, even if we disagree. And also there's no profanity in this show. There's no F-bombs or GDs or anything of that nature. So without further ado, I believe you could state your name and what's on your mind. Thank you very much for calling into the show.
This is DeSager from California.
I'm sorry, from California?
Yes.
Yes, what's on your mind?
I actually think there should be a third party candidate, and I think Ron Paul is going to make that announcement tonight, whether he is going to retire or not. I think he's going to make it, the announcement that he should run for a third party, because he's mainly going to take the votes away from the Republicans, because the majority of the Republicans are the one who actually follows Ron Paul. That's my comment.
I'm sorry?
I said that's my comment.
Oh, well, definitely, and I agree in large part. I'm not certain on whether he will say that he's going to join a third party. However, there are a lot of folks out there that are hoping that that happens, and he could very well be a strong force in a third party, such as a Libertarian, and there's another party that's up and coming, which is the America's Party, which I mentioned earlier. I'll be interviewing their presidential candidate this Friday. But he definitely will siphon off votes from the Republicans. But I even contend that whether it be Ron Paul or Tom Hoefling, that either one of those gentlemen would siphon off not only Republicans, but it could also very well be a home for conservative, independent-minded, and libertarian-minded folks who consider themselves independent. And I also believe that he could siphon off votes from Obama for some of the more, you know, that might be rare, but some of the conservative Democrats or libertarian-minded Democrats that are out there as well. So what do you think on that?
But I don't think it would be too much from the Democrats, because the Democrats are pretty much one force of what they believe in and what they're going to trying to accomplish. I think it's the Republicans that are – the Republicans are mainly saying one thing one day, another thing another day, another thing another day. And it's like they can't seem to get all their stories all together. They seem to – but they are getting one story together, that they want Obama to be a one-term president. That seems to be the consensus between all of the Republicans. But as far as what they believe in and what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish, it's kind of like mixed up all in there. At least Ron Paul says he wants to do this, 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 and this, so there's no ambiguity of what's going on in his mind. You know what I'm saying? In the Republican, in Mitt Romney's mind, he's saying that he wants to get rid of Obamacare in his first term, and unless we're in a dictatorship, or unless he can all of a sudden become the czar of the United States, that's not going to happen unless he has both the House and the Senate. And then there's a lot of things that he wants to do. He said he was going to claim to do on his first day in office. And like I said before, he's going into office as this basically a dictator, saying he's going to do this, 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 and this, and really does not care what Congress is saying. So my hope is that Ron Paul does jump into the race, because if he does jump into the race, it's going to affect Mitt Romney more than it affects President Obama.
Okay, and who would you like to see either run for a third party? Would you like to see Ron Paul, or are you someone who would like to see votes get siphoned away from Mitt Romney because you would like Obama to get reelected?
I'm for the person that can best lead the country, whether it be Obama or whether it be Mitt Romney. And as far as I can see, I've listened to Mitt Romney. I've listened to him on the debates. I've listened to him as far as him campaigning around the country. And the only thing that he's really saying is what Obama did and what Obama and Obama's the cause of all this mess. But he does not give any sort of answer to any of the questions. That he's not putting forth a plan that he can, whatchamacallit. And from my own personal, from what I see and what I can get from Mitt Romney. I don't seem to think he's capable of running the United States. But I'm not saying anybody is until you're actually in the job. But he's not giving any answers to any of the questions that the United States people have. So maybe, and I don't know who this Gary Johnson is, so mm-hmm. I don't want a person running the country that, number one, I haven't seen any of his platforms, number two, I haven't seen him campaign, and number three, I don't even know what the man looks like. And it's kind of hard for him to come in and be a third-party candidate against Obama and Romney when nobody actually knows who he is. At least Ron Paul, people do know who he is, and they do know what he stands for. But as far as Mitt Romney, all I can see that he stands for is that he's determined to make President Obama a one-term president, regardless of whatever the cost may be, even if it means that he may take us back to the pre-Bush years. He's willing to do that and basically destroy the country to get him to not have Obama be president again.
Okay, well, so that being said, am I surmising correctly that at this point, if you had to vote tomorrow, you would vote for Obama?
Since I really don't know the other candidate that's actually running, I would have to say yeah.
Okay. Well, fair enough. So you mentioned the pre-Bush years, and could you tell me where and anywhere in our economy that we are better now than we were in the Bush era? Where are we better now? In what aspect? Is the United States better now than we were during during the Bush era? Now, let me put this disclaimer in real quick, sir. Put this disclaimer in. I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, a Romney supporter. I supported Newt Gingrich in the primaries, and I'm looking to support a third-party candidate in the future because I think that Mitt Romney, I don't think Mitt Romney could beat Obama, I also don't think an Obama re-election would be good for this country. So with that being said, where do you think that the Bush era was any worse than what we're going through now, and what category?
Well, as far as unemployment, we're not losing as many jobs as we were when Bush was in office. Granted, I do understand
that the unemployment rate is higher now than during the Bush era.
Actually, the unemployment rate is still at 8.3%. It was actually higher than 8.3%, but a lot of people are saying that those numbers were not accurate. It's really 19 to 20%, but that's hearsay because actually they don't know. So the unemployment rate is like 8.3%. It was a lot higher when Obama took office, but he did bring it down to 8.3%. Granted,
what do you mean the unemployment rate was much higher when Obama got into office?
Because we were losing so many. We were actually losing so many jobs.
But what I'm saying is that it was not higher when Obama got into office. So,
But wasn't
the average? Go ahead.
At some point in time, wasn't it at 9-point-something? Actually, it was at 10-point-something.
Yes, but that was during the Obama administration.
But
it was up to 9.4 to 9.6 during the
Obama
administration.
What is it now? It's 8.3%. Isn't that lower?
Well, it is lower now. However, it is still higher than what it was during the Bush era. Now, remember what Obama also said was that he said that the stimulus, with the stimulus package, that unemployment would not go above 8.3. And the only reason, 8.3%, and even at 8.3%, it's still higher than what Obama said it would be if we did the stimulus. Also, with the unemployment rate, real quick, and then go ahead, is that even 8.3 isn't accurate because what they're not counting is the number of people who have dropped out of the market, who have dropped out of the job market, making unemployment actually higher. Go ahead.
unless anybody has a crystal ball and can see the future, then I would hold to Obama to what he said. But no one, when he actually went into the country, he didn't know how. But no one knows how bad it is unless they're in the Oval Office. So for him, I understand what he said, but unless he has a crystal ball, he can't really say. He said it, but unless he has a crystal ball, you can't really hold that to the fact. He can only do the best he could.
Well. Here's why I disagree with that.
Okay.
Here's why I disagree with that.
Okay.
Is back in 1994, Newt Gingrich created something called the Contract with America.
Okay.
And it gave 10 points on what the government was going to do. And each one of those goals were met. He said, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to get done. And those goals were met. There was
okay.
job creation. There was balanced budgets. So it can be done for them to say, look, this is what we're going to do, and do it. It's not unprecedented for that to happen.
Well, it actually can be done when you have both the House and the Senate that's willing to work together to make it happen. Because even the president himself cannot make any decision. He can make some decisions, but the majority that makes the decision when it comes to the American people is the House and the Senate. And if
no,
you don't
I
have,
agree, but there wasn't a two-year.
Go ahead.
I agree, but there was a two-year period, right? Where
yes.
Where Obama had both the House and the Senate, and look what he did with it. He got, you know, the Obama, I'm just going to call Obamacare, and, you know, not the long version, which, you know, but, you know, what his main focus was getting Obamacare passed when he had the House and the Senate. He wasn't focusing on job creation. He was focusing on getting this, you know, big stimulus, quote-unquote stimulus. I don't think it stimulated the economy at all. And so... Also, we've racked up in 3 years a $5 trillion debt in doing so.
Because it's up to $16 trillion. I get that, but it was up to $9 trillion when Bush was in office. Bush had a surplus, and he raked up $9 trillion because number one we had two wars.
Let's see, go ahead.
We have two wars we didn't pay for, and we have the prescription drug bill that we didn't pay for. Those are three things that we didn't pay for.
I'm not a big fan of the prescription drugs.
However, there were three.
We had 9/11. Plus, you're talking. Let's go ahead and say that he went up $5 trillion in 8 years. The debt went up.
Actually, the debt went up to $9 trillion in 8 years.
It went up to nine trillion, not nine trillion in eight years.
Because I'm just saying, if it's at 16 now, it was at 9 trillion when Obama took office. It's at 16 now. Even you said yourself that Obama in 3 years only added on $5 trillion.
I'm talking about the national debt. At the end of the Bush administration, when they're talking about the national debt, they're talking about from the beginning to now.
Okay.
They're not saying that. No, it's not that Bush racked up $9 trillion worth of debt during his administration. That was from history, the debt at that point was $9 trillion. Okay, through the history.
I thought that's a candy bar, sir.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to put some humor in. Go ahead.
Clinton gave Bush a surplus. You yourself said Newt Gingrich balanced the budget with Clinton.
Sure.
So therefore, when he balanced the budget with Clinton, President Bush walked in with a surplus.
And President Bush also had 9/11 and doing, you know, spending a lot of money in order to protect the country. One of the things that's not mentioned very often is that what the Democrats would do is when Bush was trying to put a spending buddy for a spending bill, okay, money for the military, the Democrats would tack on more bills, thus increasing the cost of the bill, and they knew Bush would not veto it because he was not going to underfund the military. So that's how that happened.
I understand that, but at that point in time, President Obama wasn't president then. Bush was. So if he couldn't stand up to Congress, I don't understand why everybody's on President Obama's behind when they say he's not standing up to Congress. And I do understand the Obamacare thing. I kind of understand it because Reagan tried to get a health care bill. Clinton tried to get a health care bill. President Bush tried to get a health care bill. So it's not like he all of a sudden, when Obama became president, he decided, well, I'm the only president that's going to try to get a health care bill, and I'm going to do it. All three of those presidents tried to get one.
Let's back up a little bit. Now, getting a medical bill is different. Did they try to address the problems when it comes to, people being insured or, medically? Sure, they've all tried to address the problem.
Okay.
It's the way in which they try to address them.
But you do know that what's in the health care plan is what the Republicans wanted before in all the other plans, because what they wanted.
Let's back up. Everything that is in Obama, much of what is in Obamacare, was in Romney. Don't say all the Republicans. We're talking one state. We're talking Obamacare, has a lot in it what Romney Care has, which I don't agree with. I do not agree with Romney Care.
Okay.
I do not. I mean, Romney Care was the prototype for Obamacare. So
it's
not all Republicans. It's just Mitt Romney and what he did in Massachusetts.
But the last I watch a lot of C-SPAN, and when I look at all the Republicans,
that's the problem right there. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe that is.
I'm just joking with you.
When the Republicans actually come out and talk about the care, what they say that they want in the care is they want pre-existing conditions to be want people to go get in even if they have a pre-existing condition, which is in Obamacare. They want kids to be on their their parents' insurance at a certain age, which is in Obamacare, and they want people to be able to go to different states. Go ahead.
Whose plan is that? You're saying the Republicans.
This is what the Republicans want to place Obamacare with, but it's already in the bill.
They want to replace it with that,
but it's already – the only thing that they don't like is the mandate, and which I can understand the mandate.
And I think if what you said is indeed true, okay – I mean, I disagree with some of it, some of it I agree with. But what you're saying is indeed true. And I have heard Romney making his comments on what his plan would be for the health care bill, for a health care bill.
Yeah.
And let me play that for you and the folks. Let me find it. I've got a really long list of audio clips. And you're not saying something there that I disagree with, because actually when I was arguing against Romney and he made these comments, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. He's not saying anything much different than what Obama's saying. That's why one of the reasons why I was not a Mitt Romney fan. So let's see. Let me find that.
Okay.
And I like to play it for the folks here, because I understand, and that's one of the reasons why. I'm not a Romney supporter. I'd like to see a third party, because I think that a third party would have a better opportunity to beat Obama. Because I do not want another 4 years of Obama. I don't think Obama's been good for this country at all.
A lot of people say they don't like his policies. So what specifically don't you like about his policies?
Are you talking about?
I'm talking
Romney
about Obama's policies.
Because
when I say, well, I don't want Obama as president, okay, so what don't you like about Obama? Well, I don't like Obama's policies. So what are the policies you don't like?
Sure.
You don't like all of them?
Okay. Sure, I don't like Obama's czars. I don't like how he's increasing the government, the size of government. I don't like how he's increasing the influence of government. I do not like his foreign policy. I don't like how he wants to try to give up the American sovereignty over to the United Nations. Okay? I don't like any of that. I don't like him telling the Russian president that, hey, you know, wait till after the election and then I'm going to have more flexibility with what we could do with these arms talks. I don't like that he goes to Poland and says, you know, we were going to have a missile defense system there, but, you know, the Russians don't want us to do that. So, well, you know what? We're not going to do it. We're going to take that out of there.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You're going by all this stuff that you name is what you've heard and read in the press, correct?
No, I do my own research. I don't trust the mainstream media, so you mean to tell me
you have somebody that's on Obama's cabinet?
Yes, I do. No, I'm just joking. No, I don't have somebody on Obama's cabinet, but I have seen what he's done. I listened to Obama himself. I've seen what Obama's done himself. Yes or no? Does Obama have czars?
Well, so did Reagan.
Does he? Reagan had czars. Name them. Who were the czars?
Reagan had a drug czar. Reagan had czars. So I don't understand what's that. That's an issue about. Reagan had drug czars. If you go back in any of the clips, you can see that he has designated drug czars. So he had czars in his administration. So that's nothing new.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to disagree with you on that one. But
you don't have to disagree with me. You can look in his clips. I'm not saying that I'm saying he had. You can look at any of his clips where he's actually announced to the world that he's going to have a drug czar. So he has had drugs. Yeah, he has had czars. So it's not anything new. That's what I'm just saying. You don't have to. I'm not saying that I know this. I'm saying
okay,
I heard it from Reagan's mouth.
Well, I've never heard that from Reagan's mouth, and I've heard of a lot of Reagan. So that's something that we'll just have to agree to disagree at this point. I hear that myself. But speaking of that, I'm still looking for. As I said, I've got a whole slew of audio clips about what Romney said about. A health care bill. That's got a ton of them here. So you mean
to tell me it's okay? It's okay if the insurance policies discriminate you if you have a pre-existing condition?
Are you asking for a policy or asking me personally?
No, I'm asking you personally.
Well, I'm not saying that someone should be denied. What I'm saying is because of people's health and because of people's history, that those are things that are going to be looked at because the insurance companies are a business. And one way to curtail those costs is by competition, okay? And competition by going over the states, just get state competition.
Uh-huh.
So right now, as you know, you can only get, in insurance from whatever state that you're in. But if you have cross-state competition, that's going to lower the cost. If you have tort reform, such as trying to get rid of all of these frivolous lawsuits, medical malpractice lawsuits, where all these, doctors, have to have, so much in insurance for, medical malpractice suits, I think that would also lower the cost. Also, forgiving one of the things, I understand you got to heal people, or help people, I should say, but you have a lot of folks like illegals, going in the system, having like the flu or something like that instead of going to a doctor because they are illegal or going to hospitals, and then the people who, such as you and I, we're the ones who have to pay for it. That's why the costs keep going up.
But we're not just paying for illegals. We're paying for everybody in America that doesn't have insurance. You know there's more than just illegals that don't have insurance in this country. You do know that, don't you?
Well, of course I know that. But I'm just saying that there's also – here's why I put out illegal.
Okay.
Illegals are not citizens of this country.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, like I said before, I understand that, but you specifically put them out there. And
yes,
And I'm sure that you do understand that.
And I just told you why I specifically put them out there.
I understand that, but you do know, because I actually work in a hospital. You do know that a lot of people that are not people that that are American citizens go to the emergency room also.
Insurance. Yeah, I'm not saying that they do not. What I'm saying is that. Instead of going to a doctor, you know, we're really getting off topic, and so I'm going to end it with this, you know, because tonight we're talking about, you know, Ron Paul and third party, so we're really getting off topic here, and that, you know, that's something I really don't like to go off on tangents on the show.
Okay.
You know, but what I'm saying is that instead of going to these illegals, instead of going to, because here's the thing, you can go to a doctor, and doctors turn people away, but hospitals cannot turn folks away. So if you go into a hospital where someone's just, you know, has the flu or what have you, something that really isn't in an emergency, they still go to the emergency room to get it looked at, and that costs, because that takes the time up of the doctors, and they're going to charge. They don't care. You work at this. You don't. They're not going to care where, you know, why they came in. They're going to charge regardless.
So it's a bad thing that's going to I understand you don't want to go off copy. I'm just going to make
No, I do not.
I'm just going to make this one little comment. But my whole thing is this: if it were you and you didn't have insurance, and you went to a doctor and the doctor turned you away, and you would say, "Well, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have insurance." And you go to the hospital, and the hospital turns you away because you don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Then how would you feel?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because personally, I believe in personal responsibility. Let me finish the answer.
Okay.
I believe it's personal responsibility. You know.
So you have the money. You have the cash to pay the hospital in cash or write the check. Whatever, I understand on the personal responsibility, so that means you have the funds to, if you have a debilitating disease, you have the cash to pay for it, to write the doctor or the hospital a check?
What I'm saying is that, let's say you have an employer that does not offer insurance.
Okay.
Then there's like COBRA. Is it expensive? Sure, but you prioritize your expenses.
Okay.
If you were in college, okay. When I was in college, the college offered, of course, for a price. Okay, insurance. So okay, well, I could decide to buy that insurance or not. So I buy the insurance. They also have in the United States Medicaid for people. Medicare and Medicaid, okay? Medicare for the people who can afford it, Medicaid for the poor folks who cannot.
Okay.
So it's up to your personal responsibility to get yourself covered in some way, shape, or form.
So that means when Obamacare out there, that's a way of a person getting covered, correct?
But when you are – see, one of the problems I have with that is you are – for one is the mandate where you are forcing people to do it.
Okay.
You're saying, look, if you don't have it, you're going to get a fine or what the Supreme Court has just said, a tax on the folks. So I don't like that aspect. I don't like the aspect that, you know – same as public schools. I think people who – if they send their children to private schools, I think they should get a tax break, because here they're paying for kids to go to public school, but they're also paying for their kids to go to private school. But then I think they should get some kind of, I'm not saying full compensation, what goes towards the schools, but I think they shouldn't have to pay as much, because they're not utilizing those public schools.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of interesting that you don't want them to go into the hospital. You don't want them to go into the hospital if they're dying. I'm not saying dying. I'm just exaggerating.
Yeah, that's
that
a, well, see, well, see, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm saying, but I don't think it's kind of interesting that you don't want them to go to the hospital if they have a flu and they don't have insurance. When Obama's giving them an option to buy insurance, whether it's mandated or not, he's giving them that option. I'm just curious that why. Why you're saying?
But you see, it's being. And I'm gonna. I've got a caller in here that I'm gonna let in momentarily. It's not an option. You either buy it, or if you don't buy it, you don't buy this insurance, then you're gonna have to pay the fine. Either way, you're paying for something. Either way, you're paying. If you're a health, let's say you're, hey, I'm in good health. I've got good genes. I'm young. I really don't need to buy insurance. Okay. That's not an expense I need to have.
Okay.
Well, let's say, I just want to get catastrophic insurance. I don't want to get insurance for things like that, But the Obama is saying, no, this ain't going to happen. You either get the insurance or you're going to pay this. But we're off topic. That's the last I'm going to say on that. And I'm going to let the other caller, 360, in, and I'll keep your mic open live as well. So, 360, you are in. Tell us what's on your mind. And we got a lot off topic, but if you'd like to go ahead and chime in on what you might have heard, what they're talking about briefly, about the whole Obamacare and, situation or medical, Go ahead, but I really like to talk about what we've got our
topic
tonight.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, it is amazing to me that 3.5-4 years later, people still don't understand Obamacare, and I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm talking about everybody. Obamacare is not insurance. Obamacare is a law that makes you do something, and the thing that it makes you do is going to become more and more and more and more limited, because they're going to tell you what kind of insurance you have to have, and it's an invasion into our whole economic system. It's beyond insurance. It's beyond healthcare. I really wish the people, Republicans in this case, if they had any intention of educating the populace about this, which obviously it seems like they didn't, all they had to do is put up a website, put the whole 2,000 pages up there, and break it down. Here's a segment. Okay, let's talk about what this means. Let's talk about the fact that this has nothing to do with insurance. This is just what one more government intrusion into our lives. It is social. It is a total control of your lives is what it is. Now, here's the key to understand this. I was listening to a talk radio, which I don't do much anymore, besides blog talk radio, and there was a gal calling in, and she was telling her whole health story and all these things, and he said, well, do you have insurance now? And she said, yes, I have Obamacare. And he's like, it doesn't even exist yet, and it isn't an insurance policy. The government is giving you nothing. They're making you pay for something. And it's amazing how many people do not understand that this is not about insurance. I mean, not about health care. This is about making you buy stuff. When you look at the population of this country, and yes, I agree, health care needs to be reformed in terms of laws. There's so many simple solutions to this. One, get rid of all the state controls so people can go across state lines and get insurance. I mean, there's just 100 things you can do. A lot of people, like me, I think I've used insurance. I'm 54 years old. I've used insurance maybe twice, three times in my whole life. I pay cash for basic things, okay? And then when it's what I want to be covered for is heart attack, stroke, cancer, things that are going to wipe you out anyway. Most basic insurance plans don't cover you. It's all about let's run to the doctor because my kid has sniffles. People don't take care of themselves, so they get these plans so they can run to the doctor. Most people need catastrophic care. And there was an incredible program, and, of course, the Democrats are trying to destroy it, and that was medical savings accounts, which was like in a retirement account where you got, pre-tax money. You put it away. You could pay your basic medical costs, like when you had to go to the doctor for this or that or vision care or whatever, and your money collected profit, and it was tax-free. And yet, where's the option for that? They don't want you to have these options. They want to control everything in this country. I mean, when this concept of Obamacare kicks in, everybody's personal bank accounts are going to be logged into the government. I mean, it's the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it's not about health care. You bet.
Can I say something?
You bet.
Actually, the way Obamacare works out is that each state is going to be able to decide what their state needs. It's not going to be one thing, one insurance, one thing, one fits all. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be a state is going to determine what they're going to offer the people. So there is a choice in what they're going to offer as far as going cross state lines and all of that. That's what the exchange is for. So there's going to be actually plans that are catastrophic. There's going to be plans that are non-catastrophic. There are going to be plans that you can buy the entire insurance package or you can buy whatever you need. So there is a choice. It's not like they're not going to give you a choice. And I do agree with you. Obamacare is not insurance. And a lot of people keep on saying what they're going to give you insurance. They're going to give you health care. Obamacare is not going to give you health care because you have to pay for it. So they're not giving you anything. But the way the states are set up and the way Massachusetts is set up is that there's an exchange that all these insurance policies are going into the exchange, whether it be catastrophic, non-catastrophic, or whatever. And then you go into the exchange and then you pick and choose what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some sort of choice.
Right. So, there's some sort of choice in the beginning. And I don't know if anybody's has looked at Massachusetts several years later since Romney Care has taken over, skyrocketing costs. Because the problem is when you get government in the middle of anything. Anybody been to a post office and got frustrated at trying to get service or how service is? And, of course, post office are broke. When government manages, it doesn't work. And what happens is they always tell you you have a choice. And then when they go, oh, we can't afford this, now that's no longer a choice. We can't afford that. Oh, we can't manage this. Costs are out of control. So let's say we're going to limit choices. Pretty soon, you know, give it 2, 3, 4 years when it's broke, like everything else in this country, and you ain't going to have, excuse my French, you're not going to have the choices that you thought you were when they were selling it to you.
But insurance
but
is limited.
That's my experience in living in America for 54 years.
But
insurance
is limited insurance is limited now. Because you can go to your insurance company and say, I need this procedure to save my life, and the insurance company can say, well, that's not within our realm, and that's not what our cost. So
sure.
It's limited now.
Right. But we want to give it to a government bureaucrat to manage it.
Well,
I guess that's the part where I just don't get how anybody thinks the government's. I mean, the government. Well, we're $16 trillion in debt. Borrowing 40 cents from a foreign country on every dollar we spend, and we want to turn around and give them another 16% of the control of our economy. I'm sorry, I'm a real cause and effect guy. I look at everything I've ever experienced in my life, and I've lived in two state capitals, Juneau, Alaska, and now I'm in Olympia, Washington. They don't manage crap well, so it's a beautiful concept, but the reality is I don't trust government. I mean... I don't see anything they've done in the last 3 or 4 years that tells me I should have changed that concept.
But this
is just me.
This is the only government we have. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we have a choice. We have a choice. We can overthrow the government. We have that choice. But that's the government.
First of all, this government. Yeah, but let's talk about founding fathers. This government was never set up to have a federal bureaucracy run every aspect of your lives. In fact, our founding fathers set this thing up as a republic so that wouldn't happen. So we just say, oh, well, that's the way it is now, so we're just going to accept it?
But do you know how simple it was back in when the founding fathers founded this country? Do you know how simple it was? Everybody said, well, we need to go by what the Constitution says. If the Constitution was so strong and so unbreakable, there wouldn't be amendments with the Constitution. Because the Constitution is a piece of paper, yes, but it's not as strong as people say it. Because if it was so strong, then we wouldn't be able to amend it. And people are amending it all the time. It's just like, the founding fathers did not foresee. They had 13 colonies when they started.
Well, they didn't perceive socialism.
They didn't foresee this.
They didn't foresee socialism. They had totalitarianism as an example of what not to go towards. Now we have people that want to be taken care of. People that want to be taken care of, they actually want the opportunity. So there is a whole different mindset, and that's not founding fathers' fault.
I don't think there's a lot of people that want to be taken care of. I don't think the majority of Americans. I don't think they want
to. It don't take the majority. It takes about half of them. We got about half the people in this. Do you live in the same country I live in? I see people all the time.
Yes.
Half of the people in this country receive some kind of government benefit for something. You know why these politicians won't change anything in entitlement programs? Because there'll be a revolt because people expect things now.
Okay,
that's different than you and I. That's different than when you and I were growing up.
I never
thought to expect anything from anybody but my family, my church, you know, my efforts. It's a total different mindset today.
But you have enough money. Have enough money to turn 65 to not collect Social Security?
Well, let's put it this way. It depends on what they do to my country in the next 5-6 years.
So you really can't say that you do. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what I'm saying. We got a bunch of crooks and politicians that keep screwing us and devaluing the value of my money. If they had left this country alone and done what they were supposed to do, there's a difference between a constitutional amendment and theft and crime in government. There's a whole lot of difference between that. And so I'm not going to roll over and say, God, give me more government. I can't fathom that concept. It's just mind-boggling to me that anybody could argue that position. I'm sorry, but that's just me. Every time we have a depression in this country, if you look at history, there's always something to do with banking and something to do with the government changing laws. Every depression we've ever had, there's those two concepts. I mean, Dr. Paul, anybody who's ever studied Ron Paul's position on the Fed, where is that $16 trillion extra dollars they gave to who, and what is that? That's a liability on your future, my future. I don't know. How are they going to pay for it? It's just mind-boggling to me. I mean, if they want to send me, why don't they just give the money to me? I can run my life better than they do. If they're going to throw money away.
Well, I'm just seeming to feel like a lot of people are giving up on government. That's what I see.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't given up on government. I've given up on crooks. I've given up on liars.
Okay, but it's like
a difference.
But it's like when you say you give up on these people, the crooks and whatchamacallit, the American people are the ones that keep on electing these people. Granted,
actually, in the Republican Party, we just had a dictator take over, so I'm not sure the American people elected crap.
Well, as far as the democracy, the people are supposed to elect the people in Congress. And if you don't like it, just kick the people out and pick somebody else.
I'm going to chime in, gentlemen, on this and to try to bring things back on topic. Because I think this is a good segue.
What was the topic? I came in late.
Well, you know, we continue our conversation last night, you know, about third parties. And we're talking about, you know, what Ron Paul's announcement may be, and we began gentleman here saying he may be jumping on to a third party, but the way it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, is he's hoping that that a third party would only draw people away from the Republicans and not the Democrats, thus ensuring an Obama victory in November.
Who knows? It depends on the party. If it's a Libertarian Party, you'll pull from both of them.
That's what I was saying. Oh, the gentleman.
You got to look at their platform. If it's a Libertarian Party, they're going to pull from both. If it's a, and you know, I just got off the phone.
Real quick, Chris. Gentlemen, if you're still listening to the show, I don't know if you purposely dropped or if you just dropped the call. I would like to thank you for coming in and thank you for your contributions to the show. I know. Oh, we did get off topic almost for the first full hour, and I'd like to try to bring that back. So go ahead, Chris.
He made me have to think, and that was great. you know, because we need to know. We need to understand what is happening. We need to be able to have these debates with people. There are people that actually believe that what Obama's doing in his socialistic agenda and Obamacare is a benefit to people. And,
right.
And anybody who I don't know, I don't think it's an age situation. I think it's, you know, the dynamics of how you view the world or who raised you, your worldview. But the world I lived in 20 years ago, 12 years ago, 6 years ago, and 4 years ago is a different world. And it ain't getting better. I mean, you look around you and you go, you know, these people who have this ideology about, you know, what Obamacare is going to do, we have no money. China owns 40% of our country. When the Chinese get total control of this country to make sure you have Obamacare and this glorious socialist experiment that Obama wants to put in place, when the Chinese get over here, they ain't gonna put up with this democratic socialistic crap of let's take care of everybody who doesn't want to take care of themselves, yeah. And you know, on top of everybody who can't, they're gonna come over here and set rules that you ain't ever seen before because they're a freaking communist country.
Yeah, they'll
I mean, I don't
die.
Understand this. I do not understand this ideology living in, you know, in Pluto land. You know,
well,
there's cold hard realities. We are in trouble.
Well, what I was trying to convey to the gentleman is, of course, you know, trying to get back on topic. You know, I was trying to elude his questions a little bit to try to bring him back on topic because I didn't want to get into a big debate because it wasn't about, you know, the topic. But you know, I answered some questions in a general fashion. You know, because, you know, as I said, I want to reiterate what a point I made earlier is I believe in personal responsibility. And you mean, you know, you prioritize where you spend your money. And, you know, I say, you know, you go out and you get insurance, you know, if you feel like you want insurance. But I got someone on the line, and I'm going to let him in and then Chris continue. But this
okay,
then
I'll get back to third parties because this Obamacare argument, this Obamacare argument's gone. You know,
right, and that's
the
why
states,
they really
the states
say
are going to
much about
the
it.
States are going to get, the states are going to get rid of it anyway. So whatever.
Yeah, cause, I mean, you know. and that's why I didn't want to touch too much on it. I'll just give them, you know, generalities and opinions. You know what some of my opinions were, you know, on it. So you know, I didn't want to go into great detail because that's not, as I tried to tell him earlier, that's not what it was about. But I still appreciate his contribution.
Obama
but,
doesn't want to be president. He wants to be king of the UN anyway. Why are we having this conversation?
There you go. Without further
ado, I'm serious. I'm not being facetious. I'm serious. That's his world goal.
That's true. I agree with that. He doesn't want to be the American president. He wants to be the world president. And with that being said, Sammy, your phone is live, or your mic is live. Thank you for coming.
Hey,
on the
Robert.
Show.
Hey, Robert,
hey,
Chris.
Hey, buddy.
Everybody that's on the show. I mean, right now, we are in the fight of our life. Mr. Speaker Newt Gingrich came onto my show, and I'm so blessed that he called back in. Not to be disrespectful to Newt Gingrich, but I cannot support Mitt Romney, plain and simple. I have worked too hard. And, hey, Robert, the funny thing about my show at the very opening, I had some
mm-hmm.
idiot call in from, like, a Skype number. And the very first thing, and this is a Rombot, calls in and starts throwing all kinds of cuss words out and clicks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are they setting their examples for if they want to support Mitt Romney? Are you attacking conservative radio shows? I mean, get off your seat and go look up what really conservatives are. Constitutional conservatives. Constitutional conservatives are people like Carol, Kathy, Chris Shipler, Rex, Tex, and my dear friend Lugnut, a.k.a. Kim. And I'm sorry. I mean, this is a Hail Mary right now. And we got a quarterback throwing a football. And he's in the end zone trying to catch it. We got about 1 second left on the clock. If we do not get out there and we come together, and right now I'm waiting on what Dr. Paul says tonight.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people are definitely, you know, waiting on that one this evening, that's for certain.
Yep. I mean, I'm being attacked all over the place, but that comes from being on the radio and having a very popular show. It's going to come from that. And I got 13 or 14,000 friends on Facebook. Yes, I bring it on myself. But I will hang in there, and I will not shut up. And I'm sorry I did my show at an earlier time for a lot of your listeners. Tomorrow night, I'm going back to 11 o'clock, and we can go open-ended. I did not want to go 3 hours and take 1 hour away from Robert's show because I want Robert. Robert is awesome. His show has grown by leaps and bounds. And
well, I appreciate that, Sammy.
I do not want to overlap his show, and if I go at 11 o'clock, I can go to 1 o'clock. But, and Chris Shipler, me and him have really become good friends in the past few weeks, or past week or two. We've been speaking on the phone. Chris is awesome.
I'm a pain in the ass.
No, you are. Paul Rary is awesome.
Yeah, Paul's awesome. I'm a pain in the ass.
Nah, you're not a pain in the ass, brother.
It's my grandmother and my mother's fault, I tell everybody. They were rebels.
Hey, Kathy, where's my kiss? I see you giving Robert a kiss on the cheek in the chat. Where's my kiss?
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that.
Well, you ready for me to go on?
Hello,
to the,
everybody in the chat. I just want to say hi instead of typing all that. No, go ahead. I just want to say hello to everyone. Thank you for coming
no
to
problem.
The show.
I had a good call. I'm glad you got me hooked up with Tom Hofling. Hofling?
Yeah, Hofling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I called him, and then I got on his show for a little bit. That's why I was late. You know, I wanted to listen to his, you know. I'm still looking for the details. I've got, you know, I've kind of got partway there in terms of how does he win. And, you know, because that's the thing I think that everybody is a little bit concerned with, you know, where do I go? What third party? You know, obviously, you know, the big push for the Libertarian Party is Gary Johnson's. They're already on the ballot in 50 states. They have, you know, the RNC is attacking them, trying to get them off ballots, and they have the money and the wherewithal to fight those battles. And Gary Johnson already has a little bit of a national public presence because he's been in the debate, and he was a governor,
right,
which is always, you know, from executive experience is usually where our presidents come from until lately.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. And he has an incredible record as governor. Now, problem is he's got some, you know, what most of us conservatives or Christians would have. He's got some issues that people aren't real happy with. So we're still doing that. You know, we're still doing that. Okay, what's going on and who's what, when, where, and why. But Tom is he's a sharp guy. You know, he's been in and around politics for a good chunk of his life. He's been in a lot of campaigns. You know, him and Alan Keyes ran together for a while. You know, that kind of thing. He's got a very interesting perspective of what I call pure constitutional declaration of, you know, independence politics, and it's definitely a breath of fresh air.
I'm going to throw something out there, Chris, and you probably might be ticked off at me for doing this. But one thing that, and, you know, I understand the wanting to, you know, be a part of a party that's, you know, in all 50 states, and I know that, you know, Tom's looking at getting on, you know, more ballots actually, you know, by the end of this week.
Go ahead.
Well, one thing that I think that would appeal from him to conservatives more so than Gary Johnson. I'm not trying to stick a thorn in anybody's side. Is that he definitely is, you know, pro-life through what I see.
That's what I said. He is a hardcore constitutional conservative to the nth degree. I mean, like I said, his running buddy was Alan Keyes. So he to a conservative Christian, the guy's on track 100%. And self-admittedly, they will not get on all the ballots. But you don't need to be on all the ballots to win 270 electorals.
That's true.
So that's the question. That was where, that's where him and I were at in our conversation. We had a live call, and then on his radio show, you know, I didn't quite have the environment to finish that one-on-one call I needed to, you know, to really get the strategy of what is it going to take to win. And you know, that kind of thing. And so we're still working on that. I'm sorry I don't have more information. You know.
Hey Chris, you're talking about the America's Party.
Oh yeah, yeah. Tom.
Okay.
He was on your show.
You know, he's been on my show twice.
Yeah.
And
he's a great guy.
He's a great guy, and I believe in his values. But he is not on enough states to do it.
He's working on that, actually.
And I want to challenge that, Sammy, and not be disrespectful, but that's what my call with him was about, was let's get down to the facts and find out what, you know, how do you get to that 270 electorals and actually win. And he will be on enough states to actually make that happen. Now, whether he does or not, that's a question, you know, whether or not he wins, whether or not Duncan wins.
Chris, he was awesome when he came on my show. And I will not disrespect him on Robert's show. And, I mean, he is a real conservative.
Yes.
Presenting the Newt Gingrich values.
Yeah, actually a little stricter than Newt Gingrich, actually.
Yeah, he's a little bit more conservative than Newt. I have... Robert, can I have about a minute to share something?
Sure,
go ahead. With a phone caller I had today, or not on my show, but a friend here in Jacksonville. Some of y'all are probably friends with, but I'm not going to mention their name. They have gone from Newt to Mitt Romney. but they agreed with me that the RNC is trying to shut down the conservative movement. So how 1 + 1 does not equal 2. 1 + 0 = 1. And, I mean, it blows me away that the person could agree with me on one thing, but then support the other thing, Mitt Romney.
Fear.
Yep.
Bottom line, fear. That's all it is. It's fear. And it's whatever.
Yeah.
We lose either way.
Chris, you know they're trying to shut us up.
Yeah.
I mean, I was attacked. I don't know if you heard my show today.
No, I'm sorry.
I started at 7 o'clock, and... because I did not want to overrun into Robert's show. But tomorrow night I'm going to start doing it at 11 o'clock and run it till whenever.
Right.
It'll be 11 o'clock every night from now. Robert has to take care of his child. And I respect that. And he's welcome to have the time slot. Because he is an awesome patriot. But people cannot believe the stupidity that are coming out of these people. The RNC is trying to shut us up as constitutional conservatives. But now they're turning around and voting for Mitt Twitt. What in the hell is that about?
Fear.
I mean, it hurts me. I mean, it's ripping me apart inside when I know these people were strong Newt supporters and worked in their grassroots movements here in Jacksonville, and now they can turn around and vote for Mitwit. I'm sorry.
Yes.
It ain't happening here at my house.
Yeah, I don't really understand. I really don't understand myself. But you know what I also think, though? I think that if you have a strong third party who is a true conservative or true libertarian or a mix of the two, I believe that those people who went from Newt to Romney, I think they can come back. I think they can come to a candidate or a party that if they espouse those values, the reason why they're going to Mitt is they think they don't have another choice. They don't think they have another viable choice. But if we could show them, okay, if they could be shown that there is indeed a viable choice who can win, I think they'll come on board. I really do. I think they don't.
Well,
they just feel like there isn't anyone.
When you say they, do you mean all of them or some of them they? I guess that's a question.
Well, I'm saying a lot
of
folks.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think a lot of the folks who were true Newt supporters, okay, true Newt supporters, okay, that I think the reason why they have went over to Romney is because they don't feel like they have an alternative. They think Romney is the only alternative to Obama, okay, but that's not true, okay. but if they could see a viable, you know, third party, a viable, you know, candidate that could win who has conservative and or libertarian values, I think they could be brought over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well,
Chris was on the whole show when they called in the other night, weren't you, brother?
Hold on. I'm okay. I don't smoke.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thanks, Chris.
Now, Chris was on the whole show when they called in. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yep.
And Newt, I mean, did I hold any punches back?
Nope.
But I was very respectful to him, and Robert's heard the show.
Yes, I listened.
And, I mean, I didn't hold any punches back, but I did not attack Mr. Speaker, the man that I love and idolize. Not only idolize him, let me take that back. But I respect him with all my heart. I know what he's doing. And when he called into the show, he had a broken spirit. You could tell that. And,
yeah.
I mean, the RNC screwed us. And he knew, and you heard me live right there on my show, that he knew we were fighting for a brokered convention. That was live on the radio. And Newt gave me 18 minutes of his time. Did I shut up? I know I didn't. And Robert's not going to shut up either. Robert is an awesome patriot, and so is Chris. And Chris and I have talked a lot more, and we've become very close, and that's awesome, and just like Robert and I have. But please, people, we are fighting for our country. Our country is in dire peril. Can we support Mitt Romney? Hell no, we cannot support Mitt Romney. And I told y'all heard me tell Mr. Speaker that I would not support Mitt Romney. And I'm sorry.
That's okay. We've got another guest in. I believe it is Rex from the Texas Rex Show. So I'm going to leave, of course, everyone else's mics open. And Rex, go ahead.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, thank you for calling in, sir.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for being on the air and promoting
the same principles we all share, despite the theft of the nomination by a liberal Democrat.
Yeah, no, I mean, the first hour, unfortunately, kind of got off tangent, and you know, I wasn't, you know, putting a lot into it in my responses because I was trying to get the gentleman, you know, back on topic because we talked a lot about Obamacare, and you know, it wasn't a subject I really, you know, wanted it to go tonight because that's not what tonight is about. I mean, towards the end, you know, there was a way to segue it back to what we're talking about tonight, and I think Chris did a good job of doing that. So that being said, I think we're back on topic, and we have been for a little bit. So go ahead. Go ahead, Rex.
Well, I just literally jumped on. So, I mean, other than the general topic, what's tonight's specific topic?
I was kind of hoping that, you know, the gentleman from last night, Eric, he called in. It was a great discussion last night, and it had to do with, you know, where, you know, this isn't what he said, but it made me think that you start to wonder, well, where are Christian conservatives going to, what part are they going to play in the general election? Because they have two candidates here where, in my opinion, neither one of them, you know, fulfill what a Christian conservative would want to vote for. And I think there's two candidates that, you know, to look at third party wise, and that is, you know, Gary Johnson and maybe Ron Paul if he comes in, but also Tom Hoefling of the America's Party, which is I've conveyed earlier is very pro-life. Here's the bad thing: you have one who's very pro-life, but is not on all 50 states, okay, on the ballot. But he's working on it. He's working on getting on more states, which you could still win the presidency by having enough electoral college votes. You don't have to be on the ballot every 50 states to do it. But then you have another candidate in Gary Johnson who isn't as strongly pro-life, okay, but is on the ballot up 50 states. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know what term, you know, term you use, but you're kind of between a rock and a hard place, you know, for the Christian conservatives on who, you know, who would they throw their backing behind, because I don't think in good time, I'm not going to say what I'm going to. I'll just drop off with that.
Hey, Robert, let me chime in, and I know Rex is there. Rex is my dear brother. I love him with all my heart. Let me chime in here real fast. What Chris and me have talked about, I'm sure he's talked with you about it. We got to get off the abortion issue. We have to get off the social issues and get back to taking back our country. And if we're focused on, yes, I am pro-life, but if that's my only issue why I won't vote for a candidate, then we're going to lose anyway.
Well, may I jump in on that, Sammy?
Oh, hey, I'm done. Hey, Rex. Hey, brother.
Hey, Sammy. I agree with you, but I have a slight disagreement. And here's, let me maybe go about this a long way. But the single most important issue for any Christian conservative voter is going to be pro-life. And it's principled from the fact that that is one of those non-negotiable issues for a Christian. You can't call yourself a Christian and not be pro-life. It's also the single most important issue from a libertarian perspective, if you think about it, because the libertarian, in its pure form, principle is about the right to private property and the need to not violate anybody else's property. And the first property anyone of us owns in this world is our life. So
Amen.
If you don't have a right to life, then you have no right to any other property. You don't have any right to any economic exchange, and therefore you have no rights whatsoever. So if you want to protect liberty, you have to protect life, because if you violate life, then, you know, people can whine about food stamps and health care and war and anything else, but if you don't have a right to life, then all those other issues are actually moot. Now, does that mean that we get off that issue? Well, no, you never get off that issue, but your vote could be different depending on what the available candidates are. One of the principles, and this probably applies to all true Christian believers, is that you have to vote pro-life, or given the fact that there may not be a pro-life candidate, you have to vote for the pro-abortion candidate who is likely to cause the least damage. This is the lesser of two evils argument, which some people in principle say, hey, the lesser of two evils is still evil, therefore you can't vote for evil at all, which has some validity. And in good conscience, I could understand somebody saying that. But to vote for the lesser means that you're at least, if you have no other choices, there's one major problem, and that is that in this race you do have choices, because usually the Republican candidate is pro-life to some degree. For instance, John McCain has a relatively good pro-life voting record, and he professes to be a pro-life senator, and he has not, to our knowledge, profited from abortion nor endorsed it in any way. And of course, he was running Sarah Palin, and she's a very strong pro-life woman. So you could vote for him even though he's a rhino. And you knew that he was likely to lose, but you knew he was a rhino, and you gave it a shot. This time around, we have a candidate who is not even himself a Christian, which might not be a serious problem if it wasn't for the fact that he has profited massively from abortion and abortifacients, and has, as recently as this past May, raised money, $50,000 a plate, from Teva Pharmaceuticals, which manufactures the abortifacient morning after pill, which kills a baby. So what's your option? Well, if you're looking at it from a purely principled standpoint, your best candidate is Virgil Good of the Constitution Party.
Amen.
The Constitution Party is a very constitutional platform. In some ways, it's quite libertarian. However, it is founded on Jesus Christ, and it says that clearly in the platform, and is absolutely 100% pro-life. So if you're going to vote your principle, you vote Virgil Good. The only question you have to ask yourself is, does he have a chance of winning? Maybe he does, but reasonably speaking, the largest non-establishment party is the Libertarian Party, which currently has its nominee is Gary Johnson, although maybe in an hour that'll change. But can you vote for Gary Johnson, who himself is not pro-life? Well, Gary Johnson is essentially kind of neutral on life. He doesn't fall on one way or the other. He's kind of like, let the states decide, which I believe can be considered a viable strategy, because if you live in a pretty conservative pro-life state, then he's not going to interfere with your ability to pass pro-life laws. So I could see how, even though the candidate himself may not be on the value of Christian, on par with the values of Christian voters, his libertarian, to some degree, attitude towards these things would give Christian voters considerable leeway within their own states, which might be a very good way to resolve some of these problems. So, I think Christian conservatives can go either way on that one. And of course, if Ron Paul somehow manages to be the third party candidate, well, Dr. Paul has delivered over 4,000 babies himself personally. I think that qualifies him as pretty pro-life. That's the way that I see Christians having to make their decision on this one issue. Would you agree with that, Sammy?
I would agree with that, but this is Robert's show, but I would agree with that 100%. And on my show, Rex, you heard me tell my personal Christian values. And one thing about it, though, we're all only human. And it breaks my heart if I were to say a bad word or do something like that. I mean, I am far from perfect, and a lot of people like to put me up on a pedestal, then they will tear me down, and I'm sorry, I am not perfect. The only person that is perfect is my Heavenly Father, and it's
Amen.
The Holy Trinity.
Amen. Well, after living with you for a week, I can attest to the fact that you're not perfect, but that's only because it's easy for a sinner like me to recognize imperfection.
And Robert is one awesome radio show host.
No, well, I appreciate
and
that. Thank you. And speaking of that, I would be remiss on my duties of the show host if I didn't open things up because I want for Chris to chime in on what you what Rex and Sammy were talking about. So go ahead, Chris. Thank you, Sammy.
Yeah, I think Rex did a very good job of explaining the battle that's going on, and this is something I want to throw in that complements what he's saying, but it also gives a little bit different perspective. Here's what we have when it comes to the Democratic and the GOP. Neither one of them's getting it done. Neither one of them's fixing the problem. They go in there and they stand on this pro-life platform and they get in there and then we're still where we were and we're still killing babies by the tens of millions. So
amen.
You kind of have to step back some. You have to step back some time and go, you know, I think they're all full of crap and they're lying to us because they want our vote and they have no intention of doing what we think they're going to do. And I think by the records of our esteemed newly nominated king and his record in Massachusetts and his business relationships and things like that, I think we all know what he stands for. And it isn't our platform. So you have to sometimes, and I remember Eric last night talking about that no compromise. Well, you know, that no compromise has been turning into a no vote by many Christians, 30 million of them last time, because they're not happy. Well, if you just keep setting out long enough, then these guys who keep getting in, somebody's going to get elected. You know what I mean? So you keep setting at home and complaining and stand on that no compromise, and then the bad guys keep getting in control. There has to be a plan that there is no perfect plan. My dad is a environmental health physicist. He's a project manager. He is one of the guys that developed the whole concept of project management, you know, one of the founding fathers of it. And there is no perfect plan. The key to risk management is managing risk. And I remember him one time, I was talking to him, and I go, well, how the hell do you know what the risk is? He says, you don't always, but you have to have plans in place to manage things that you may not know that may or may not happen. That's life.
Right.
And sometimes, and when I get in these debates about, you know, okay, let's take this down to a base thought. If I was a hardcore, no compromise Christian, I live in a state capital. If I was really standing on my principles, then I would have no friends who are Democrats. As I go out as a contractor and bid on jobs in people's homes because I do residential remodel, blah blah blah, and I go up and they have an Obama sign on their house, I wouldn't do business with them because I'd be standing on my principles. But because I have to make money, feed my family, and live my life in a world where not everybody is like me, there is a compromise there. Now, does that mean I'm a bad Christian because I have to live in a world and do business with people who aren't exactly like me on my principles? I mean, sometimes you can take this thing to the nth degree. And do I think life is important? You damn right I do. But we're losing anyway on this argument. So what the question is, and this goes back to what I keep going back on my Facebook group, because I'll tell you there's been some heated discussions on this, because Gary, you know, we're betting Gary Johnson. You know, 800 posts later, I said, okay, enough, find somebody else then, because of the pro-life issue. But here's something else too. You got Obama, you got Romney. Neither one of them fit our no-compromise mentality. One of them is going to win. Then you have what Rex was saying, and I would only beg to differ that you have, you know, Tom in that match too. Great guy.
Correct.
And he's got
Correct.
A plan. It's just trying to understand it. But you've got the hardcore, you know, conservative-driven constitutional party. You know, you have conservative party, you have the America's Party, and then you have the Libertarian Party. And so one of those parties with enough force behind it may change the tide of this future. And they may not be perfect, and they may not be exactly what you want, but if you break the stranglehold, that the power grab, the burning of our flag and our Republican process in our party, and it breaks it down because he loses, and 30, 35, 40% of the people go vote for a party and actually do something and change something, and we get our party back, and we get our party platform back, and we get our principles back in that process. Are we really compromising, or are we doing a strategy to get back to that point where we can actually be no compromise and win at it? So that's my input.
Hey, Chris.
I'm sure you got some response,
Chris,
to that.
Robert, would you mind if I interject there?
No, go ahead.
Chris and I see eye to eye because we are not going to compromise. And Chris is an awesome spokesman. And when Paul Rary was on, I forgot whose show, was it your show last night? Yes. Paul Rary was awesome. And, I mean, it blows my mind that these idiots can compromise to supporting Mitt Twitt. That's what I'm going to call him. I mean, yes, I am pro-life. I know Chris is pro-life.
Yep.
But right now we're in the battle of a lifetime.
If we can
put up a viable candidate that is pro-life, that could win, yes.
Well, go, Sammy, can I interject here?
Yeah, go ahead, Rex.
I'd like to back up what you have to say. I think what Chris said was just pretty phenomenal. I think it bears worth, you know, repeating. Compromising your principles will never, ever succeed. But a strategic move to further your principles is always profitable. Okay?
Well,
so if you want to further pro-life principles, you may need to do it with a candidate who himself is not pro-life. That does not mean you're compromising your principles. It means you're making a strategic decision to put a candidate in place that, to the best of your knowledge, because we can't know the future, but to the best of your knowledge, is going to either cause no damage or create an environment in which you can actually further that particular issue.
Well,
and that's a very important thing. It's not a compromise.
And the reason I'm on board with this gentleman is that I think we're at a point where it's our very sovereignty as citizens that are at stake. And if we lose our sovereignty as citizens, then these other issues, such as abortion, will become moot. And the reason I say that is because if you have the elites who are there now, or could, in Obama, or who could possibly be there to replace Obama, such as Romney, which is not a real replacement, then you're going to have these elites that are going to be above the people instead of the people up. Okay, things being done from we the people up. So they're trying to control us. They are trying to take our sovereignty away from us. And I think a perfect example of that, our sovereignty as citizens, what I mean by that is look what the RNC tried to do to the delegates. Okay, and if they're going to do that to the delegates, what will they do to us, quote-unquote, little guys and gals? You know what I mean? And so if we lose our sovereignty as citizens, these other issues are moot because we won't be able to handle them anyway. We won't be able to deal with them anyway if we lose that.
You have to win to make change, and we are not winning right now. And that's what Rex was saying. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Well, I think you
know when Newt called me 2 nights ago. He spent 18 minutes on my radio show, and I could have and I was very respectful to him. And I asked him about Mitt Romney flip-flopping on gun control and on abortion. And he dodged the issue because he is being forced by the RNC to do this. And I'm sure he had to be cleared from the RNC to call into my show.
Well, Sammy, someone could say that that means that Newt's basically capitulating, but I got to tell you that I think the issue here is that Newt knows that there is a fight ahead, and he knows he has a role to play in that fight, and he believes, and I don't know if he's right or wrong, but that's where he believes, and he has every right to it, that he is a more effective tool fighting within the Republican Party.
Amen.
And in order
Amen,
to be able to do that, he has to appear to be behind Romney. But notice when he when you asked, told him that you would not vote for Romney, he only asked you, I would hope that you would reconsider by November. He didn't tell you to vote for Mitt. He didn't tell you to compromise your beliefs. He only asked you in, that it was his hope that you would reconsider. And I think that that tells
right.
a lot, because if he was truly out there pushing, you know, shilling for Mitt, then he would have been trying to sell Mitt to you. He was simply trying to appear relatively neutral with a nod towards you giving it some further thought. That's a pretty powerful thing.
Yep. I mean, the guy is awesome, and I love Newt. I mean, Chris, did you ask him a question?
No, I really wanted to, but when he called, I set my phone down and I shut it off, and then I didn't get back in the queue until he was off, and I really wanted to. Because I really, really wanted to ask him how he thinks that what they did at the RNC and what Romney's done through this whole primary warrants any Republican or true conservative or Christian to support this party at all. I really wanted to ask that question. Besides Obama's got to go, you know, because we all know Obama's got to go, but. And Rex, you've heard me say this before, so has everybody else, but the Austrians, prior to Hitler taking over the several countries before the Second World War was launched, the Austrians, in their fear, because their economy was upside down, their government was ineffective, and everything was going to hell, heard that Hitler was doing great things in Germany. And they actually voted as a separate independent country to have Hitler come in and be their leader. Now, that's you. We look at that today and we go, well, that was pretty damn stupid. Well, I think what we're getting ready to do with Romney's pretty damn stupid. You've got to learn from history. If you don't learn from history, you're going to repeat it. And it's just amazing to me how people can make decisions in fear. There are options out there, whether it be the Libertarian Party, whether it be what Tom's doing, whether it be with the Constitution or the Conservative Party. But, you know, And who said this last night? The Republican Party was the third party in 1853 and 1854. It became the party. And our whole history forward in this country with what the Republican Party did from Lincoln on was great until a couple presidents ago. You know what I'm saying? But we were the fringe party. Somebody got up and said enough and had enough intestinal fortitude and enough conviction to get up and say, we're going to change the dynamics because we're not going to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And
what happened
and
to those what happened to those Americans? That's what I'm asking.
That's what Robert's doing. That's what Tex and Rex are doing. And that's what I am doing.
And speaking
We're
of that, Sammy,
and
speaking of that, Sammy, if you'd like, Rex, if you'd like to talk about your show tonight at 11:30, and then perhaps
sure.
if you get a link to put it in the chat, that'd be great.
I'm nowhere near my computer to put a link in chat, but I will promote it. But let me just speak to two points, and then I'll segue into my promo. The first point is actually going back to what you said earlier, Robert. And it might have been Chris, I'm not sure, but someone was saying something to the effect we're pro-life Christians who won't compromise their values or not voting. That's a serious problem.
And it's a problem from a Christian standpoint. So let me address pro-life Christian voters from this perspective. And for anybody who's talking to them, you can use this argument, which I think is very valid. In one of St. Paul's letters, and forgive me for not having a Bible in front of me to tell you exactly which one, but he specifically says that we are required as Christians to be obedient to lawful authority. Now, let's be clear about that. Obama is not lawful authority because he is ineligible under the law to be president. And Mitt Romney is not lawful authority because he is ineligible under the law and the Republican Party rules to be the nominee. Both of them are ineligible, therefore neither one of them is lawful.
Amen.
But the Constitution is the law, and we are to be faithful to that and obedient to that, which means that given the fact that in this country the citizen is sovereign, and the citizen exercises that sovereignty at the ballot box, we are under obligation as a duty to vote. Even if that vote is a protest vote with a third party that has no chance of winning or a write-in that has no chance of winning, you still have the obligation to make your voice heard. And the fact is that if you don't make your voice heard, you're not sending a message to the current status that you are displeased. By voting third party or voting for a write-in candidate who doesn't win, you at least register a vote of protest, and therefore you let these people know we don't support you. You can go into office because you stole it, but you are illegitimate because the nation is not behind you. So Christians can't opt out of voting, and I know that this is going to be controversial in certain circles, especially with certain sects that alleged to be Christians. For example, I know Jehovah's Witnesses do not vote because they consider it against their faith. I would argue that they're not really Christians, but some Christians do think that not voting is an option. It's not. You have to vote, and you have to vote your principles. So opting out is a terrible, terrible idea, and if all those Christians who choose not to vote because they find no pro-life candidate united with us to find a candidate that would be able to further a pro-life agenda, even though he himself is not pro-life, then it is incumbent on them to do that, because then we could have the significant numbers to make a change. And that is a very, very important thing to keep in mind. And the other thing to keep in mind is that if you're looking at this from a biblical perspective, if you read the Old Testament, any time that Israel was unfaithful to the Lord, he was patient with them for 40 years. And then he released his wrath, and that always came in the form of an invasion, like by the Babylonian exile, or the Syrians came to
invasion,
the tribes were wiped out, the Persians, and any of that was always his wrath. And if you look at the history of Christendom, which we call Europe today or Western civilization, any time that we became unfaithful, we usually got an invasion of either Mongols or Vikings or Muslims. So keep in mind that Roe v. Wade, which essentially gave legal sanction to abortion, will be 40 years old this January 22nd or 23rd, which comes very close to Inauguration Day, which I don't think is a coincidence. So if you're truly a pro-life Christian, you have to participate in this process with the intention of defeating the abortion agenda.
Amen.
And to Chris's point about the Austrians voting for Hitler, yeah, tyranny is usually legally sanctioned. Hardly a nation as strong as the United States is not going to have an army march in here and take over us. So we're going to have to commit suicide by electing our own dictator. But the answer can lie with the Austrians. I don't mean the Austrians from Austria, but I mean the Austrian school of economics. So if you look towards the Austrians, I can tell you for a fact that in about 10 minutes, there will be an Austrian, probably the premier public Austrian of our times, on the Tonight Show. And I'm hoping that he's on in the first 30 minutes, because the Tex and Rex show will be broadcasting at 11:30. And you can find us by doing a search for Tex and Rex in Blog Talk Radio, or you can find it on Robert's, Sammy's, and my page on Facebook. There will be a link to it. So find us, and let's continue the conversation there at 11:30. And unless anybody has a question or something for me, I'm going to go ahead and sign off, Robert, because I've got to gear up and charge my phone
for
the 11:30.
Coming in. And one thing I might want to chime in about something I said on this show is, and I'll have to look this up, is the gentleman who was on earlier mentioned something about Ronald Reagan having czars. He said, well, what's one of the policies you didn't like about Obama? And I mentioned the czars. This gentleman claimed that Ronald Reagan had czars. But, you know, I question that. So, I mean, I know it's not really third party what we're talking about, but it's just something I want to bring up.
I have a weird, I have an interesting concept or something to tell you as soon as Rex answers your question.
I'm
listening. Rex, you know, has to get on his show after this or get prepared for the show at 11:30. But I'm just saying it might be something that, you know, when I call in later, I might bring up. I might not. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, I got something crazy to tell you guys. I got wild and crazy. That's why I changed my little – you guys been on my Facebook and see my little profile picture?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that.
Hey,
anyway, I got
– Love you, brothers. I'm going back out, and I need to get ready for the Rex and Tech show, too. And we will see you there.
See you there,
and
Sammy.
Robert,
thank you.
Robert is an awesome patriot. And
no, I appreciate that, Sam. Thank you. Well,
and
you
I
know,
will.
Go ahead, Sam.
Good night, everybody. But no, but I will never back down. I will never shut up. And if you want to come attack me because I am not supporting Mitt Romney, that's your wish. And Robert will never attack me. I'll never attack Robert. Robert and I see eye to eye probably on 98% of everything. Wake your asses up and get up and change your vote. Good night, everybody. And
good night,
I'll see you on the
next
show.
We'll see you on the next show.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Also like to add in, you know, one thing I, you know, I like to say about not just the callers, but the people who will come into the chat or the people who are listening on a nightly basis to, you know, my show, Sammy's show, Tex and Rex show, they go into Mark Prasik's show, Charlotte Dively's show, they are patriots as well. Because instead of, in my opinion, you know, spending a lot of, as I said, in my opinion, wasted time watching unreality reality shows. They're actually going out there, spending the time on the shows, getting informed, talking to other people, you know, posting on Facebook, Twitter, getting the word out. And I think they're patriots too, because they're, you know, they're spending time on working towards things for this country and not just, in my opinion is, you know, just sit in front of countless hours in front of the TV and not really making a difference. But that being said, Chris, I'm going to open up the floor to you, bud. We've got about 4 minutes left.
Yeah, I got a wild one. I got a wild one. Did you see my chat? I'm sorry. I played a bunch of racquetball during my coughing. Anyway, I was monitoring multiple radio programs at the same time, because everybody
mm-hmm.
seems to overlap. And I'm monitoring Richard Gilbert right now, who is the lead attorney on the lawsuit, on the delegate lawsuit that, hold on.
Okay.
that is still in the appellate court. So he just did a live on Global Voice Radio Network, which is, you know, just another thing out there. And he was talking about a immediate lawsuit going after the constitutionality of how they do the state-by-state politics on and the write-in. You know, we were talking about these write-in candidates.
Right.
And he believes he has a case, you know, with all this stuff that he's done, you know, voter laws and everything that he's had to dig into to do this delegate lawsuit has really got him tuned up for this. But I believe he's getting ready to file a lawsuit that challenges to win, that they can go on every state, all 50 states, and put, you know, in this case, obviously, Ron Paul on those ballots and vote for him.
Well, I think that's I think that's a good segue into, you know, the title of the show. And, you know, what is next for Ron Paul? We will find out quite shortly what is next when he's on Jay Leno. I'm going to try to watch that live just so I can – you know, see what it is before I go into the Rex
and tech show, which I suggest everyone who, if you're going to be up, might as well go and check out the show and hear it from
Tech. Yeah, I got it.
Oh, you got a link? Yeah, if you could put that in the chat, that'd be great. I'm sure
myself
Rex would appreciate that. Awesome. Thank you very much. And there's the call-in number. Great. You got the call-in number in there, too. Great. And then that was Rex did that. Awesome. That's great. Well, I tell you what, folks, I guess it's about that time, unfortunately. Well, now I've got, I just got a couple minutes, and then maybe I can go ahead and play the whole song of my favorite theme song. As I said, it's really nice for me because it just kind of, you know, after the show and, it, you know, brings me down a little bit. Not in a bad way, but, you know, get me back in a few minutes of relaxing, which I'm sure not many of us do a lot of. But I would like to thank everyone. Thank you, Chris and Sammy, and thank the gentleman who came in earlier. Even though he did get us off topic, I still appreciate him calling into the show. And, of course, you know, Sammy, and you know, hopefully tomorrow night we will hear from the gentleman who called in last night, maybe some of the ladies. So we'd be glad to hear them again. So if you're listening, we welcome you to come back to the show. We had some really interesting conversation that night. So thanks, everyone in chat, for coming and participating in there, and everyone who's come in and listened to the archives later and listened to all that. I thank you as well. It just makes for a great show. So everyone take care. Please go to the Tex and Rex show after this, and let's see what is next for Ron Paul. And everyone take care, and I will end with Leliana's song by Aubrey Ashburn, and you can find more of her music at www.aubreyashburn.com, A-U-B-R-E-Y, Ashburn, A-S-H-V-U-R-N.com.